Horrific Network Entertainment.
Welcome to the flagship show of the Horrific Network, featuring interviews with icons of the entertainment industry. This is the Horrific Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? This is Jimmy, and this is another episode of the Horrific Network flagship show, the Horrific Podcast, man. It has been a little while I have been working pretty predominantly and exclusively on the WrestleMania series, and I have been doing some traveling with my wife. Also, baseball season is picking up, getting started. So a whole lot has been going on in the last few weeks that has really made stuff interesting, fun, exciting, the whole nine yards. And haven't had a whole lot of time to get as many of these out as I would like. But we'll get back into the swing as much as possible here this week and next week before I head off on the road once again to WrestleMania 40. Cannot wait. It's finally here. Been counting down on the calendar pretty aggressively to get this trip, you know, organized and get everything dialed in for my parents and I. And it's finally almost here. And man, all I can say is I hope Cody finishes the story. Like, that is going to be a pretty instrumental part of this thing being what would be considered a fun and exciting event. If Roman Reigns wins, the walk back to the hotel in Philadelphia could be kind of a lonely one. But in the end, I cannot wait to be able to be there live. It's going to be unbelievable, I am sure. And the other thing that looked unbelievable in horror movie news was the fact that Blumhouse and Atomic Monster merging and immediately not having success. It had the community up in arms with excitement when we got to a point of Blumhouse and Atomic Monster getting to a merger talk, and then it finally happened and everybody was really excited. And I think that when it happened, the expectations were very high and it didn't pan out right away. And now Blumhouse comes out with a new one, which we have started Campfire Chronicles season. And Blumhouse comes out and does a movie with Lionsgate, Imaginary, that I thought was very good. I thought it was better than most would probably give it credit for. I thought that the story was interesting. I thought that the creature effects were nice. I thought that the whole thing was very tight and they did not do anything above what was really necessary. And they were able to put together what was a very good movie. On the heels of that, I think something that everyone thought that they were going to see at that or during the Academy Awards just kind of dropped randomly was the Beetlejuice trailer. And man, does that thing look like it's going to be fun. We saw Lydia for the first time in makeup. We saw Jenna Ortega for the first time in her character design as Lydia's daughter. We saw, of course, Michael Keaton back in the full makeup as Beetlejuice, and he looks great. I think that could have a lot of potential. The other thing that I thought could have a lot of potential, which is having very mixed reactions across, is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So as the recording of this, I have not seen it yet. Several of the Horrific Network members have seen it, and they have all pretty much universally said that they've loved it. So much so, John saying that he would put it only behind the original, which is very high praise. So he liked it more than Ghostbusters 2, which of course was Vigo and the art institution, the art museum, whole storyline. Ghostbusters Afterlife for me was like a 7 out of 10. You know, Ghostbusters 2016 was like a 1 to 0 out of 10. It was painful to watch the original characters look so miserable in a situation which, you know, the rumor was always that they had to do it, contractually had to do it. I don't know how true that necessarily is, but they looked like they had fun in Afterlife. They looked like they're, you know, just by the trailers and stuff, it looks like they're having fun in Frozen Empire. But the critical response to this thing has been abysmal. It's batting a 45% the last time I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. We can go ahead and look right now, actually, that I say this. Let's see. Frozen Empire is down to a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, critically. Still holding strong in an 85 fan rating, but man, they, not good, critically, not good. And the overall consensus is Frozen Empire offers a certain amount of nostalgia-fueled fun for fans of the original, but the crowded cast and surprisingly serious tone prevent the sequel from developing further storylines. Imaginary, the one that I talked about before, I'm just looking up if we... I can't find it right now. But it also did not get a very good critical response. But I thought it was good. So hopefully, I think Frozen Empire is good. I don't want to see franchises get rebooted for the simple sake of them getting rebooted. That's not why you should make movies. Because that screams money grab. You know what I mean? Like, that screams, we should not be, you know, there's no reason to be doing what we're doing. If we cannot, do better than that, honestly. Like, it's really what it all boils down to. Anyway, man, someone who doesn't do that, who only makes stuff for the sake of fun, I think, because his films are never critically well received. It seems like in the major scheme of things is Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith rarely makes a movie without Jason Mewes. And Jason Mewes has always been and always will be a Robin to Kevin Smith's Batman in the cinematic world. So that is why I'm super excited that we have an interview with Jason Mewes for today's podcast as we get back into the swing of things. And let's get into that interview that was moderated by Ashley from Sinister Creature Con right now.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ever wondered what it takes to make it in the movie business? Peel back the curtain with 4-6 Success Filmmaking. 4-6 Success Filmmaking is where filmmakers share their stories and the secrets.
It's beyond competitive out there.
There have been movies that it's taken me 10 years to get made.
Don't wait to create. Like, you've got to just keep making stuff.
Tune in to 4-6 Success Filmmaking for your dose of cinematic realness direct from the voices that have lived it.
And everyone's like, get them Legos. And I'm like, I am saving my feet right now.
That's when you know you're a parent.
Yeah. That's life. You wake up one morning and your foot is destroyed by a Lego. Not yet. We're waiting because he's three. We're waiting. But every time he sees the commercial, he's all, look. No longer for the wait. Let's go ahead and get Jason on in here, you guys. Well, let's welcome Jason.
I love it. It's a full room. Thank you. And I don't. Thank you. I'd love to stand up here. Thank you. No. And I might not stand here the whole time. But anyway, I usually honestly just open it up for questions right away. But thank you for being here. Thanks for sitting here and watching me when you could be doing so many other fun things out there, like buying skulls that are attached to one another, like twin babies and such. But yeah, and happy Father's Day to any daddies out there.
Happy Father's Day!
But do you want, I told her that I usually don't have a moderator, but if she wants to start it off with a question, and then after her, you guys can ask some questions. Hopefully you have some. And if you don't, then she can keep asking, but. Do you have something good?
I do have something.
I hope it's something good. Start it off good.
So my question for you is...
Boom!
When you were starting to film Clerks, the original Clerks, Clerks 1,
yes.
You were working in roofing. How was that schedule from roofing and doing Clerks? And how was that craziness from filming so late at night and then going and working during the day?
I'm very impressed. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. That's fucking fantastic. Are there kids in the room? Any kids?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does, but... Oh, I see a young kid. The curious one. Dad bought a picture and I was trying to hide it. And so, she was like... Did you get to see it? Did you see what it was or no?
Did you see the picture? I don't think so.
No, okay. Anyway. So that's a really good question, actually. So when we started filming Clerks, first Clerks, Kevin and I, if anyone doesn't know, we grew up in New Jersey in this small town. He's like, I wrote a script, I wrote a character, for you based on you. And we're gonna film it when the store closes at night. So Kevin would have to work at the convenience store where Clerks was shot all day. And then when he closed shop, he would close it, the place. And that's why the shutters are closed, because the store was really closed. And that's why he had to come up with a reason why they were shut. And like, why people would be like, why are they shut all the time? He'd stick gum in the locks. That was the joke. But so I would roof all day. I was a roofer. And I would probably get off around, I'd have to go in at like 7 in the morning, and I would roof until, I think about 4 or 5 we'd get off. I'd go home and eat and shower and get changed, and then run right to the, like I'd have a few hours to relax before I went to the Quick Stop and had the film. And I don't know, I guess it wasn't that tough really. You know what, when I was that age, I swear, like I would, which I could never do now. But I would sit, I just started drinking, and I swear I would drink till like 3 in the morning with my friends. But not when we were shooting the movie. Well, when we were shooting the movie, I did too, because I was so nervous.
He had to have a six pack.
Yeah, well, I would drink Blackberry Brandy was my thing. And I was so nervous that I'd have to drink just to like sort of calm my nerves. But even, again, I would only drink to sort of calm my nerves, but I'm saying when I wasn't doing that and I was just hanging out with my friends, we would go out drinking and hang out until like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and I would be able to get up at 6:30 in the morning and go roof. And I was miserable because I'd be sweating on the roof and hungover and stuff, but I'm saying it was possible. So it actually wasn't that bad, because a lot of times I wouldn't be in every scene. Luckily it was Brian and Jeff who was, you know, the main characters, and Kevin and I only had a few scenes throughout the movie. So I would come in at like, you know, 11 o'clock at night, and I would maybe be there till 1, 2 in the morning, go home, go to sleep, wake up, and it wasn't that bad. So again, luckily I was that age when we filmed it. Like if we had to film that movie now and I was roofing, it wouldn't be possible. Now, like my buddy tries to help me wake me up because I'm like, bro, I gotta get up and make sure we're there by 10 o'clock or whatever time. And he says every time he comes in, he has to come back like 4 times because I'm like, oh. And I sleep sitting up and stuff too. And that's how I'll try to get up to like get up, and I'll sit up and I'll be like, I'm up. And then I'll fall asleep sitting up. So anyway, it is not so easy anymore. But yeah, it was possible. Luckily again, I feel like I would, bless you, I was 17. I was 17. And you know, it wasn't as hard. But it's a good question, no one's ever asked me that. But I feel like it was harder more because I was so nervous filming. Like, it just felt so weird for me, because I never planned on acting. I never wanted to act or entertain or anything. And so Kevin's like, hey, say these things. And I'm like, I don't know if I could say that. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I was like, why does the character say Snoochie Boochies? And he's like, because you fucking say Snoochie Boochies. You know? But it was so weird because, again, and now all of a sudden there's a camera on me. And he's like, all right, action. Say these things that I wrote. Memorize them and say them on camera. And it was so, I don't know, for some reason it made me super nervous. Even during Mallrats, I was nervous too, but I felt a little more comfortable because I had to. It's like, all right, now we're doing a studio movie, but now there's 40 people out there watching. But again, I knew that I just had to do it. You couldn't drink on Mallrats because they, you know, there's insurance involved and shit. So so I couldn't drink or anything like that. So I had to just get through it, and I did, thank goodness. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for asking that. You just busted my cherry for that.
You're welcome.
All right, anyone else have any questions here? Did you raise your hand or are you just pointing? You standing up, the hat. Yeah. Were you raising your hand or are you just pointing? You were just cheering, thank you. Like if you were just waving your hands in the air, like no one just don't care. Yeah. There you have it, that's something like that. Yeah, you go. you know what, I was nervous a little bit, but not as nervous as I was in Clerks, honestly. But I was nervous, but honestly, luckily it was Katie Morgan. I feel like if it was another actress, like if it was Shannon Elizabeth or someone, and not in a mean way, Shannon Elizabeth's great, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, I feel like because Katie was comfortable with that, she made me really feel comfortable, honestly. Like, I was like, is this okay? Like, where is this, like, what if this happens or that happens? She said, just relax, man. Just pretend to do this and just do this. And like, so I didn't feel nervous. I wasn't nervous in the beginning, but when we started shooting and filming the scenes, she made me feel really comfortable. So I was not nervous anymore. Nervous being naked. I wasn't nervous about showing my wiener so much because of the people watching. It was more like, oh my God, my sister's like a proud like sister who's like brings her nieces, my nieces and nephews to see the movies or watches them on DVD, even though they were at the time were like 9 and 11, you know? My wife's mom, like me and her, my mother-in-law, I didn't want her to see my penis. And I was like, I asked my wife, I'm like, are you okay with your friends? They're gonna all see my penis now. Like, that could be weird. Every time we go visit your friends and stuff and, you know, and have like their birthday parties or weddings and stuff, like they're all gonna be like, oh my God, I saw his penis. So it was more of that than anything. And so luckily I asked around and asked a few of my family members and they're like, don't worry. And I was able to warn them. Like I said, when you watch the movie, you know, when Shannon Elizabeth's in the, Shannon Elizabeth, whatever her name is, thank you, was sitting on the toilet and she's crying and Seth Rogen is at the door going like, hey man, I love you, whatever. I said, shut their eyes all the way to like, you know, that scene's over. So I was able to warn most of my family members and friends, the mother-in-law, and they all covered their eyes. So I don't think they've seen it unless they peeked.
Let us fuck. Why? Was that all you?
The way what?
Let us fuck.
Oh, let us fuck. Kevin wrote that, but it wasn't me. It was all me the way I said it, but Kevin just said, wrote it in there and like the character says, let us fuck. You know, and it was up to me to like put it however I wanted to. Like, so yes, I guess it was me that was like, let us fuck. Yeah. Thank you, yeah. So yeah, that part was me. But most of the stuff Kevin writes is usually things, and not so much Zach and Mary, but Jay and Bob over the years is usually things Kevin has said, heard me say or do. For example, in Clerks 2, when they come up and they're like, hey man, where you been? And I've been like, oh, we got arrested for a deployed airbag. I got 6 months in rehab. That really happened. Me and the girl I was dating at the time lived in Kingsburg, New Jersey. We were driving up to Newark, New Jersey, where we used to go to the projects and cop bad things. And we went up and we bought drugs, and on the way home, we got in a car accident. And we like pulled over, and the airbag was open, and we exchanged insurance and stuff. But we pushed the airbag back, and the front was like half off. And it was drivable though, so we were driving home and stuff. We passed the cop, man, he pulled us right over. And in my head, I'm like, I should eat my drugs. And I'm like, there's no way he's gonna search me, right? There's no way, man. It's like, he's just pulling us over because of the car. He searched me and I got busted. And I got in trouble and I got probation, whatever. But, and I got suspended probation and sentenced to 6 months in rehab. And I really had to go to rehab and stuff. So anyway, that's what's cool is I think Kevin always sort of adapts the characters to like what's going on in Jay and, well, Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith's lives, and Jay and Bob, he'll like sort of, you know, sort of write about it. And of course, like the new one where I'm like, I used to call him Lunchbox, but now I call him Snack Pack, you know? So I love that Kevin does that. He like adapts our lives, what's going on the past couple years into that stuff, so. All right, another question. You with the hat that just, yes. Oh, you know, I don't know, honestly, I don't, when we were filming it, I was just happy to be there and enjoyed that I was doing another movie, and I got to meet Alan Rickman and Alanis Morissette and all this stuff, and I got to shoot at Uzi. I honestly, it was awesome. I got to like practice with the guy in the like back, like shooting it and stuff. With Blankson, of course. But no, I mean, I don't think that's like way, I don't think into it. I know some people really are like, wow, I really love the loophole of it all and how this makes me feel about this. And Yeah, that's way too deep for me. I'm Baptist, Methodist and stuff. You know, I used to go to church with my grandma where like people would dance down the aisles and be like, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. And the alarm in the hold, and you know, and the priest would bust out a fucking bass. It was awesome. Well, awesome for church anyway, you know. another question, the Riddler. Yes.
Can we get your side of it?
So Kevin was directing the Flash episode, well, a bunch of the Flash episodes, and he invited me up to come hang out. And when I went up there, he came in to the trailer, and I was hanging out in his trailer, and he's like, hey man, I think they're writing a part for you and stuff. And he's like, see, the character says Jay, and I was like, get the fuck out of here. And he's like, yeah, man, I was like, well, like, who do I have to talk to? Like, what do we have to do? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, I'm just joking, man. He's like, the Jay character, just because it says Jay isn't you, dude, it's not for you. And I was like, oh, motherfucker. So I was like, you fuck. And I was like, all right, you know what? I don't even care. I'm just happy to be here. Because I was happy to, honestly, just be there. I got to walk the set. I'm the one who turned him, not, I didn't get him the job. But he, I remember when the show came out, there was a whole season when I'm like, bro, you have to watch The Arrow, and you have to watch The Flash, like fucking King Shark's in The Flash, dude, it's crazy. It's really good. It's like, and he's like, oh, I don't know. And I just kept telling him to watch it, and then he watched the Flash, and he loved it. And then later he got to work on it, and then Supergirl and stuff. But my point is that I loved it so much, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting to be here and see all the sets, like where the Flash and all them hang out at the little bunker at fucking Star Labs and stuff, and where they put all the metahumans in those cells in the underneath. And then also a bunch of the Arrow set was there, so I got to go to, I never pronounce it right, but fucking where the Lazarus Pit was, like Bend Park, whatever park. So I got to go around and take pictures and check out the sets and all that. So I was like, you know what, I'm just happy to be here and get to take pictures and see everyone do their thing and stuff. And then Kevin, like, after I was like, well, whatever, dude. And then he came back. He's like, I'm just kidding, bro. He's like, seriously, this is you, and they're going to put you in the show. And I was like, stop fucking with me, bro. And he's like, no, I'm serious. He's like, go to wardrobe right now. And it was awesome. Someone came over, and they brought me to wardrobe, and I got to, like, do my thing with the belly, big belly burger. And then at the end, too, of the scene, you know, Zoom comes up and he's talking to all the metahumans, and they're like, one of us, I'm one of the metahumans in the back. So I also got to, like, I got to wear the Atom Smasher's helmet, like, repurposed. They gave me some, like, axe, and I wore Firestorm's leather jacket with his belt. Instead of wearing it as a belt, though, like, I wore it as, like, a sort of sash or whatever. It was really dope. So I got to be Big Belly Burger in that. Then later, you know, we got to come back and be on as sort of Jam Bob as the Star Lab security guards. So we got to be on that twice. And then I met, Melissa, but on our movie. And she was like, I love your show. And she's like, I'm going to direct an episode and I'm going to put you in it. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then she called me up, like, well, she didn't call me up. But I got a call later on, and they were like, hey, you know, she's directing this episode, and she wants you to be in this scene. So I got to be in a scene of the Supergirl, too, which was awesome. Never got to be in the Arrow, but, you know, I'm happy. It was awesome, man, because, again, I love the shows. And that's my thing. I tell my agent lady all the time, I'm like, look, man, I can be like cop number fucking two, man. Like, I just want to be in all the shows that I love. I don't even necessarily want to be one of the main characters, because I feel like I couldn't sit and watch CS, not that it's around anymore, but for example, I couldn't sit and watch CSI Miami and fucking enjoy Horatio being like, he came today, big man on campus, but left DOA. Yeah! You know? I couldn't enjoy that if I was next to him as, like, fucking, you know, the, like, CSI guys, like, like an actual main character. So I'm always like, man, just please try to get me a role. But I feel like it's the weird thing where the casting's like, well, Muse won't want to be the fucking homeless guy who directs the fucking main cop, you know, Olivia Benson. fucking on them, you know, being like, hey, I saw the guy getting a blue BMW, go get him, you know? So, but anyway, it was awesome to be part of it, is my point. Thank you. What's up, man? Yes, sir. Yes. It was awesome. So if you guys don't know, Kevin and I, growing up, when Kevin and I first started hanging out in the Quick Stop, I started helping him on Sundays. Every Sunday, Kevin had to put together the Sunday newspaper, which was not like the normal week. It was just like the paper, they send it to him, he cuts open the bundle of papers and puts them on the shelf. This was like all these different things that he had to like cut up and make this big Sunday paper, entertainment section, real estate, coupons, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, Jay, do you want to start helping me at the Sunday morning at 5:30 in the morning? This is where Kevin and I started getting to know each other. I'd help him every Sunday. And after we were done doing the papers, he's like, hey, I want you to check out these shows that I watch. And it wasn't like now, there was no fucking cell phones with internet that you can watch Netflix and all that. It was like 5 channels on the TV, right? So Kevin's like, here's Silver Spoons. Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. And he's like, here's this show, Degrassi. But it was the older Degrassi when Snake was in high school and Joey and all that stuff. And I loved it. And I'm like, we gotta watch more. And every Sunday we'd watch it together after we were done doing the papers and all that stuff. Kevin told a story similar to like, hey, Jay Muse and I met in a Quick Stop. We would watch Silver Spoons and Degrassi every Sunday. And the creators heard or saw or heard this interview Kevin wrote about how much he loved Degrassi and how we watched it. And they were like, I mean, this was so many years later, so it was now Degrassi, the next generation, which Kevin still watched. Kevin like followed the show all the way through over year after year after year. I honestly didn't watch The Next Generation, so I didn't know much about it anymore. But they're like, hey, do you want to come up and be part of that? And of course, I was like, hell yeah, that's amazing. And I watched some episodes and I saw that, you know, now Joey's still in it and his son goes to school there and what's his name's the principal and all this shit. And so it was surreal. It was surreal because they still filmed the show in the same high school, in the same locations and stuff. So to step on there and be like, oh my God, this is where they go hang out and eat and shit, like hang out. And this is the fucking hallway where they fucking, you know, so-and-so sucks so-and-so's cock, you know? Like all these things. And it was like really surreal to be there. And again, it was cool because again, being on the set and meeting some of the guys that were there, and seeing the creators and being like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys came up with this show that's been around literally 30 years now. And everyone was nice, everyone was sweet. It was a little weird because we were like these old guys now and all these kids are young and they're like, all right guys, you know, we're done with this scene. We're gonna set up for the next scene. You all have to go into the classroom and do your schoolwork. So they had like literally teachers and they would do their schoolwork because they weren't able to go to regular school every day because they were filming. So they would do schoolwork. So all these kids had to go do schoolwork. And I'm like, well, what are we supposed to do now, you know? but it was awesome. It was really cool to like be part of that. Something I watched so many years ago, and Kevin and I sort of bonded over that in comic books in 1990, 88, whatever the fuck, we started hanging out and stuff. So it was fun. It was really fun, cool to see. Again, all that type of stuff to me is surreal. Like, it's still surreal to me so many years later. We did Clerks 30 years ago, so we've been doing this 30 years. And it's still, 30 years later, still surreal that, like, when I get to do stuff like that, people will invite me to sets. Or I just went to the Flash premiere, and for me to get invited was exciting and surreal. Like, I get to go to the Flash premiere? Are you kidding me? And then while we were there, I love this show. I don't know if anyone watches this show, Leverage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I've literally watched it 3 times through, 4 times through. The gentleman who plays Hardison, and he also, if you guys don't know that show, but watch the movie Black Adam, he played Hawkman. He was there. And it's so funny because he was talking to someone and he was like, and looked at me and did a double take. And I was like, oh my God, he's looking at me. And I was like, yeah. And so he was like, hold on, babe, I'm doing my Q&A. Do you want to say hello? See, you know, my wife is totally not into this shit. So I was like, right? And then he was like, me? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, no, I love you. And I was like, wait, me? And it was surreal. He came over, he came up to me, and he was like, oh my God, I love your stuff. And I'm like, no, motherfucker, I love your stuff. Hardison, I was like, you're a hacker, bro. You know, not really, but. Anyway, again, that's surreal to me. I was like, I can't believe this guy, the show I've watched 3-4 times is like, oh my God, I love your stuff and all of that. It's again, so to me, my point is, so many years later, it's still surreal. Degrassi was amazing and awesome that I got to be part of it. Thank you. I don't know if it answered your question. I hope it did. I'll point it to you first, then this gentleman, and then I'll go over here. Sorry.
First of all, Madness and the Method is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Was there an event on a set or an event in life or going to see something that made you go, that's it, I'm writing and directing my own?
No, I wish.
Are you doing another one?
I would love to do another movie. I really am. I'm working. There's something. So Bomer, there was something sort of, and it's still in the works. I've been talking to this woman who's producing this movie, wants me to direct it, and I'm like, but they're like, we want to go soon, and we're like, okay, and then the strike happened, and so they're like, oh my God, this might affect us, we're not sure, and then like, so it's not done, but it's sort of been now up in limbo. But again, that's someone else's script, and they just asked me to be part of it, direct it, and I'd still love to do that. But I'm hoping to direct something again with my friend Dominic Burns. How that came about was I went and did this movie in London called Devil's Tower. And I was in like three scenes or four scenes. But I was there like, if I'm going to London, I'm going to spend like a week. Because it was in Nottingham, like, you know, where fucking Robin Hood's from. So I was like, I got to go sightsee some castles and some shit like that. It was awesome. So the guy was like, no doubt. He's like, I'll show you around. So his name's Dominic, nice guy. We're done. I'm about to, like, we're hanging out for a couple days. He's like, listen, man. He's like, I love your movies. I've seen that all. And he's like, you've played some indie movies, like the one you just did. But if you got to do whatever you want, like, really, what's a character you would love to do or something you want to do that you haven't yet? And, man, character-wise, I really would love to play, like, either a rogue cop. You know, like, I don't know how to say, just like, you know, like the show The Shield, you know, like there's the cops, but they were badass and they'd take drugs and stuff like that. I was like, or more, even more so, like a Hannibal Lecter, like serial killer type character, you know, like a fucking something, you know, or a Buffalo Bill or something, you know? So I was like, I'd love to play a character like that. I said, and I really want to direct something eventually. So he's like, oh my God, he's like, dude, I hope you don't mind. He's like, I write scripts besides directing. He was directing the movie, sorry, I should have mentioned that. The movie I did, he was the director of that movie. He's like, besides directing, I also write scripts. He's like, I'm gonna write something for you, if that's cool. He's like, I'm gonna try to write you a serial killer liar or something like that. And I was like, yeah, sure, man, whatever, because I just thought he was like, yeah. And I didn't hear from him for a couple months. I really didn't. So I didn't think anything of it. My life moves on. Two, three months later, he calls me up. He's like, bro, he's like, I've been writing this script, you know, what we were talking about. He's like, I hope you don't mind, but I went and did it, and I want you to read it. So I read it, and it was a little different. It was it was about 50% different than what it became. But I was like, oh, man, there's some good ideas in here. I said, but how about this? And he's like, that's a great idea. And we started bouncing ideas off each other. And then he went and rewrote it again, and then he gave it to me, and then he rewrote it again, and it became what it did. So he wrote it really, but I gave a bunch of ideas and notes and what we should do. And he's like, dude, he's like, awesome. He's like, I want to try to get money for this. And I was like, all right, sure. I didn't hear from him for like 5 months. So I didn't even, he directing. So he had to go do this Van Damme movie he directed in London. He did a Van Damme movie and he got busy. It makes sense. But I didn't think anything of it. It wasn't like, oh, I wonder what's going on. I just was like, whatever. So 5-6 months later, he calls me up. He's like, oh my God, bro. He's like, listen, I know I haven't talked to you or anything. He goes, I directed this movie and then I was editing and did that. He's like, but listen, he goes, I found these guys financing. They'll finance the movie and we can make the movie. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. And he's like, not only that, I talked to them and they said that you could totally direct the movie. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, no, I'm serious. He's like, they said you can direct it. And he goes, but the downside is we have to film it in London. Even though it's shot technically supposed to be in California, in LA, in Hollywood and stuff. He's like, we got to film most of it in London. And I was like, fine, that's fuck it, I'll do it. I love London. I'll go hang out in castles again and shit, you know? So that's how it sort of came about. He came to LA, we started like looking up locations and all that stuff and casting, which was so sweet because again, we didn't have a lot of money. It's not like they threw $5 million or so. I think it was like $1.5 million they were willing to share, fork over. And we didn't have a lot of money for casting to like pay people big money. And it was awesome because we started just reaching out, like, man, I don't know if we should go to Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher. There's no way they're gonna want to do this movie for like no money and stuff. And it was really awesome. Dean Cain was like, I'll totally do it. I love Muse. I've met him at some cons. He's a nice guy. Terry Hatcher, I never met her, but she's like, I love, Muse is directing his first movie, and I love it, and I want to support it. So Terry Hatcher jumped on board. Danny Trejo and I are actually friends, so Danny's like, I'm in. Casper Van Dien and I are acquaintances. I wouldn't say friends, but Casper Van Dien jumped on board. Vinnie Jones, I don't know him at all, but we reached out, and he said he'll do it. And it was really nice, man. I couldn't believe how many people jumped on board just because they're like, oh wow, this dude we've seen and stuff is directing his first film and we want to support it and all that stuff. And that's how it came about. But that dude, him and I have talked after that, and I'm like, hey, maybe we can do like a part two, or maybe we should branch off and do something similar and all that. So I don't know, hopefully him and I will write something, or he'll write it and we'll talk about it and sort of coordinate something together. But on top of that, like I said, I'm still like my agent, you know, is always keeping the door open, like, hey, Muse wants to direct a movie. I was gonna direct this movie a couple of years ago before the pandemic, and it was gonna be in Vegas. It was really funny. It was sort of like The Hangover, but not The Hangover, but it was that type of similar comedy and stuff. But everything was in this one location, the budget, and it fell through because the building, they were like, we can't film there. We thought everything was sort of counted because the office was going to be there. The casting, the wardrobe, everything was going to be in one building and filmed in one building, so they were able to financially make it work. But then they lost that property, and so it fell through, and it never happened. So I'm just saying, like, I'm always hoping, like, keeping my eyes open for movies to direct and stuff. So, thank you. I said you, and then I'll do one more over here. We'll see, but yeah, you, young man. Yes.
Part of Project Greenlight, and
yes.
The original script didn't have your character in it, and then I was really shocked when I saw the movie that not only were you in it, but that you were playing you.
Yes.
So how did that come to be, that like you came to be involved in the movie, and then you got to play like a meta version of yourself?
Yeah, you know, I didn't even know that was happening at the time, honestly. It's funny because I went in when they had that, there was an audition, and you know, I went and auditioned for the comedian, the guy who delivers the beer. He's a comedian, I forget his name.
Beer guy.
But yeah, so I went for beer guy, right? And they made me come in, and I read and read, and they liked me, but they liked him, and they're like, come back in. And I said, you know what? I said, I don't even know, like, this is gonna be so many days here and this and that. I said, you know what? I just wanna be part of the project, so let him have it. Like, I don't wanna keep going. He probably would've got it anyway, because he's super funny. But I was just like, you know what? Well, I like this other character. The other character was in the movie. His name was, I think, Sketchy Cat, right? And on script, it was like Sketchy Cat. So I'm like, this dude's only in a quick scene. His face gets ripped off. I said, that would be awesome. I never got to get a prosthetic and do that. I want to check it out. I didn't know. They didn't do it till after that they put my real name, and it was like life expectancy, blah, 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 blah. That was all, like, I didn't know that until I sat down and watched the movie for the first time. They never told me, they just decided to do that later. So yeah, that's how, they just decided to do it. I don't know what made them decide to do that. But that's how I came part of it. I auditioned for Beer Guy. I went in a bunch of times. The casting lady liked me, but she was like, are we really like this guy? But we like you and we like him. And I said, you know what, I don't want be on, I guess he was filming like a couple weeks, and anyway, it worked out to where I was just like, that wouldn't really work for me anyway, so let me do this guy where I can come, be on set for 2 days and be part of this project, because it seems like it'll be fun, so. Throw your hand to you as you sir. Yes, you sir, with the beard, mustache, what?
One more.
One more? Is it that fast already?
Yeah.
Dude, we're fucking rocking it, dude. So sorry, I already told this gentleman with the beard and mustache. We'll see how long his answer, my answer is. Maybe we'll go to you. Go ahead.
All right, cool. What exactly got you into Twitch streaming?
Ooh,
and
I like
this.
And
what's the first video game you've ever played?
Ooh, so guys, if you don't know, I'm on Twitch. I love it. What got me on Twitch is about 5 years ago, I guess, Facebook started their own gaming channel like Twitch. And Facebook's like, hey, we're starting this gaming channel. We want you to sign on to Facebook for a year, and we're trying it out, this whole new thing, and we will pay you such and such dollars. I was like, oh my God, I'll suck your cock. Sorry. But seriously, I was like, I get to play video games for this money and this and this. So Facebook signed me on, and it was awesome because it wasn't like, hey, I hope people subscribe. I hope people donate biddies and stuff so I can like pay for the bandwidth or what have you. They gave me a check every month as long as I did 40 hours a month. At the time, I was traveling a bunch. Kevin and I were doing a reboot, Get Old, and all that stuff. And it was really hard to get 40 hours, believe it or not. Because it's funny, because later on, and I mentioned that, because later on I was doing like 150 hours at one point. I'm not now with my new baby, but anyway, so for a year I did it. I would make my 40 hours, and it was awesome. And my contract was up. A lot of people on the road to that were like, you should be on Twitch, you should be on Twitch. And I'm like, what's this Twitch? And so I really didn't know much about it, and I just explored it and all that. Then when my contract was up, we looked into it, and that's how I got on the Twitch. But really, thankfully, it happened with Facebook, because I don't think my lady would have been into it either if I was like, hey, I want to try this Twitch, and I'm going to do it 4 hours a day every day while you're taking care of our daughter. And I'm going to hope that people watch and subscribe and stuff like that, because with Facebook, it was different. She's like, yeah, go sit in the room 4 hours if you're going to get paid, you know? And so, that's how it got started. And it was pretty awesome. Again, Facebook got me into the door. But I love it, guys. If you don't know, I'm on Twitch. I play games. My first game ever, you asked me. You know what I really started? I don't know what my first game is. My neighbor used to have a ColecoVision. And I remember playing like Donkey Kong and Dungeon Centipede and stuff like that on his console. Arcade games, of course. We have Pizza Place had one of my favorite was I can't believe I can't think of the name. It's the with the four characters, the elf, the
Goblin.
Thank you. My favorite, the Pizza Place had it. I used to put quarters in and play it all day. That and Joust, you know, with the So those were my two. I would say Joust and Gauntlet were like my first games. My first console game I really got into was Call of Duty. Call of Duty, I played constantly. Call of Duty Domination, I love capturing the flag. I still love it, but there's too many good kids out there who crush me. And you can't really have, with that game, it's hard to have a person carry you, even if they're good. Where Fortnite, I feel like this guy's really good, and he'll carry me, and him and someone else will carry us. I could die 10 times, but we'll win, because they'll carry us, you know. And it's just so much fun, the updates, man. Like, you know, it's either spider webs or like grappling hooks and like constantly new updates, transformers are in the game. Anyway, so follow me on Twitch if you guys can. It's free to watch. So definitely check it out if you get a chance. But yeah, is that the time or time's up? I'm sorry, bud. I know you wanted to ask a question. A couple more questions. I'm sorry if you didn't get an answer. But you guys can watch any of my podcasts. Most things I've answered before, except for her question, which was first time. Let's go. Guys, seriously, thank you for hanging out and sitting here listening to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come to my table, I'll be there. Snoochie to the Nooch, Snoochie Boochie. Thank you.
So there you go, man. There was Jason Mewes having a lot to say. Interesting, if you ever listen to Campfire Chronicles or anything else, make sure that you are able to hear some of the behind the scenes. And eventually, you know, Jay, our own Jay, had a cool idea of doing this moderating with the moderators kind of sideshow, where we go back and we watch a panel that we have moderated and someone is asking us questions about said panel, which I like that idea quite a bit. So maybe, perhaps, we will do that with this panel and Ashley and get kind of the behind-the-scenes look at this panel and how it was, you know, put together and why there were two Clerks panels on that select program, because there was a little bit of behind-the-scenes drama, to say the least, of why Jason Mewes did not appear with Jeff Andrews and Brian. And I've always kind of thought that that was interesting that we did not get that. We still have Clint Howard from Sinister Creature Con June. That'll be coming up. And then we will move into Sinister Creature Con July or June of last year, and we will finally kind of be caught back up with everything that we have available. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed listening to Jason Mewes. Hope you enjoyed hearing a little take, and I hope you enjoy, whenever you do see it, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And stay tuned for more news from your buddies here at the Horrific Network. Stay spooky, everybody.
May the stars light your way throughout all your journeys. May the stars light your way throughout all your days. May you see all the world, stars and planets. May the stars light your way and see you safely home. Did you like that?